Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. This is going to be pretty fascinating today. Let me just preface this by saying, with all that's going on in the world these days, all the problems and troubles there are, it seems that more and more people are turning to the metaphysical world for solace and for insight that not only gives them the answers they're looking for, but also offers them the loving guidance they need to resolve their conflicts and cleanse their souls. And for that reason, we are happy to welcome today Margaret Selby, who is one of the world's most loved and highly sought after clairvoyants, psychic readers, and mediums to the broadcast. She has over 30 years of experience. She is highly known. She is the author of a highly acclaimed book called Heart to Heart. She's been at this business a long time. It's interesting because she is known as a natural-born psychic medium. I'm not quite sure what that means, but we're going to find out when we bring Margaret on the line. Again, her mission, as she points out, is to guide everyone to a higher purpose and a more profound sense of wholeness. And through a reading, she awakens the eternal essence of our being and the meaning of our existence and purpose. And that's a really profound statement to make. I find this remarkable. I love talking to people like Margaret Selby, and I'm really excited to have her with us today. And it's a pleasure to welcome Margaret Selby, who is based in Hickory, North Carolina. Margaret, good afternoon to you. How are you today? Nice to have you here.
Thank you. I'm doing very, very well. It's great to be here. It's great to be on your show today. I look forward to it.
Oh, well, that's great. I'm glad you're here. Let me ask you something. You describe yourself as a natural-born psychic medium. What's the difference between you, a natural-born psychic medium, and some other one who is a psychic medium? Being natural-born, I'm defined, what does that really mean? Define that for me.
Well, at 5 years old, you know, I began to see things. And at 5 years old, you know, your mind really hasn't quite grasped anything that's not right sitting before you, and you're able to talk to it and you're able to reach out and touch it. But what I was experiencing as a child, I would see just people walking through the walls, going somewhere else in the rooms. I would see people hovering over, you know, my sister at nighttime, and I wasn't afraid. That was a wild thing. I wasn't afraid. And it got to the point to where I would be sitting and I would hear a voice, and that voice would tell me that, you know, Joe Schmo had something to share with me, who had passed many years ago, and I was supposed to know that person. And it was somebody who, you know, it was their grandfather at school. And so trying to piece all that together was a little hard, but you literally have it from the minute that it grasps your brain, and it never leaves. And, you know, having a family that in the Deep South, as you well know, it wasn't something my parents wanted me to deal with. They didn't want to deal with it because certainly no one around us would say, oh, yeah, you know, we need to go see this child. And so over the years, I just kind of put it back. I'd bring it out. I'd put it back. And one day they forced me. Yeah, I can remember it as well as I was today. I was in San Francisco at the airport, and there was a woman who was in front of me as we were checking in, and I've never seen somebody so fidgety, and it was like I could see all this color around her, and it was going from red to gray to, you know, to back to red. And I just tapped her on the shoulder and I said, listen, I said, you need to calm down. I said, no one knows you're here in Chicago. You got the job, so quit worrying about it. Get on the plane, take a little nap. You'll enjoy it. You got the job. She turned, she's like, oh, my God, how did you know that? And it was like, well, I just did. And you know, she became over the years a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be in the grocery store, and I'd be standing in line. There'd be some woman in front of me, and I'd tap her on the shoulder, and I'd say, quit worrying. You cut the coffee pot off. You don't have to run home. You go on now and dose your other stuff. I promise you. And nobody knows you cut your own hair. It looks good in the back. And
you're
they would
kidding.
Just be like in shock. And it was like, okay, all right, Spirit, I got it. I need to go back and be the psychic, right? And it's like, yeah, you do. And that's how, as I grew up, that I decided it was time for me to open the door as a psychic.
Let me ask you, how did this ability affect your childhood? I mean, when you were, you know, let's say you're in the seventh, eighth grade, or even, you know, in high school, you had this ability. Did you make use of it at those ages or not?
Yeah, a little bit. Not a whole lot, because, you know, when you're in high school or you're getting ready to go in high school, you know, okay, your hormones are raging, and, you know, you've got boys and girls on the brain, and we're not thinking too much about psychics. Every once in a while, something would come up if you'd meet somebody and you kind of go, you know what, you need to stay away from that person. That's not a nice person. And so you kind of shied away from some of the boys because they were a little bit wilder than what you wanted to, you know, to have in your life. So that would happen. And you always kind of knew the teachers, what they'd put up with and what they wouldn't. And I helped a few teachers, even as young as I was, make some good decisions about their lives. And I stayed friends with them until they passed. So it's kind of interesting. It comes out when Spirit wants you to say something, you're going to say it, whether you like it or not. But for the most part, I didn't use a whole lot of it as a child. But after graduating from school and getting into the work mode, yeah, it became very active.
When you did get out of high school, and whether you went to college or not, doesn't matter to me, at what point did you decide that you were going to focus your career on using your psychic abilities? I mean, did you like get jobs as working in department stores or companies or whatever? I don't know. You can tell me.
I was in the real estate business for about 10 years, and it really began to kind of come out. I knew who was going to buy a house. I knew what house they were going to buy. I knew what they wanted, even though they were telling me something else. I knew exactly what they wanted, and I'd take them to what I knew, just exactly what they wanted, and they bought houses. That's how it really kind of played out for me. But
okay.
The interesting thing was I left the real estate industry and went into medical sales. And
sales.
I had always wanted, yep. Yeah, I was a medical rep on the road for many years and traveled probably 45 states over the years.
Wow.
Got to know a lot of people, a lot of experiences, psychic experiences in some of those places in Colorado, up in Montrose. You know, I had an entity that decided it was just going to spend the night in my room and talk to me all night long. Charleston, South Carolina, there was a death in this hotel, but it was not a hotel at the time of the death. It was a tobacco house where they sold tobacco, auctioned it off. And so this particular entity, this ghost, so to speak, had taken in this room that I was in. And because I traveled there every 4 weeks, I liked the room because, you know, I could look out the window and see them playing the bands and that sort of stuff. So I asked always for that room. And, of course, he always was there, and he always made sure that somehow or another I had a bottle of wine in that room every single time I got there. And we just had some really good times. Was I afraid of him? No. But, you know, he learned to listen when I said, hey, I got to go to bed, so get out of here. Go on. And they just disappear.
Well, my goodness. Well, all right. Well, let's focus on your life as when you're doing this now as a medium. Tell me about the various things you do. Because you do a good bit. You do clairvoyant readings. You do medium readings.
Uh-huh.
And for people
uh-huh.
who may not understand what you do, define, though, what's the difference between a clairvoyant reading and a medium reading?
Well, a clairvoyant reading is used as a tool for sight. So if someone calls me up and they want a psychic reading, and they have questions. They don't tell you the questions or anything, but you kind of, you know what's going to happen. So you go into that reading and instantly your clairvoyance means sight. It means that you can see pictures, you can see videos, you can see symbols. I might see a house on a hill, you know, in that particular reading. And what does that have to do with this person? Well, what it may be, it's a childhood house. Maybe she's wanting to move back to that childhood house, or maybe she's wanting to replicate that house, or she is just, you know, has a memory of that house that she wants to talk about. Clairvoyant videos are huge. You can very much see someone's life kind of passing. They're sitting there waiting for an answer, and you're saying, hang on just a second. I see something here. I want to share it with you. And then we'll go into this video as to seeing her moving forward and opening up a door. And you notice that as she opens up that door, it's got a lot of little babies and kids. I said, are you wanting to open up a daycare center by some chance? Oh, my God, how did you know that? Well, I just saw it. So it's that sort of thing. Clairvoyance is really interesting. I will never forget one day I was sitting in my chair and just looking out nowhere, nothing in my mind, and I saw this woman walking down a dirt road. And as she's walking down that dirt road, you could tell that she was just trying to get away from the world. As it progressed, it felt that she was having some emotional things and maybe even have feelings of suicide. And then it just clicked off. And I thought, okay, well, that's coming up. So phone rings. It's my next reading. And the girl says, I'm having some troubles. I said, do you have a blue jacket on right now? And she said, yeah, why? I said, well, you're just walking down a dirt road. She said, yeah, why? I said, where's your head at? And she said, well, I need help. And I said, yeah, you do. And we go on. We talk a little longer. I gave her an 800 suicide number. It saved her life.
Wow.
That's a video that you see. It's just like you're sitting here and you're watching the TV and you're literally are watching a program. And then it'll click off, and your sight comes back. So,
All right. Now, how about medium readings? Now, what's the difference between that and a clairvoyant reading?
If someone calls me in and they want to contact someone that has passed over, that is a medium reading. At that point, you know, I have them to get quiet, and I, you know, hone in on what they're looking for. Close my eyes and call someone in silently who is a parent, maybe a brother or a loved one or a boyfriend or husband or whoever. And sometimes they might not come in. Other times they freely come in and they're just jabbering up a storm. And so you're connecting with someone on the other side is what you're doing.
Right. And you really can do this.
Yeah, I can.
How do you do it?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, because, you know, it becomes such a second sense with me. It's just, you know, I sit down and I that person has already told me who they're looking for. So I close my eyes and I am literally talking, you know, in mind to that person, calling them out, telling them I have a loved one here that has something they want to share and ask if they will come forward. Sometimes they say no. I have no desire to talk to that person. I do not want to come forward. You have to pass that on to that person.
When you do connect, mm-hmm. Can they actually speak to the individual who has gone on to the other side? Do they do that through you? No.
They do it through me. What happens is whenever you're on the other side, you have an extremely high vibration. A vibration that is not a normal person can handle that kind of vibration. I mean, you would pass out. But what has to happen is that soul has to reduce their vibration, and I have to bring my vibration up to where it connects. Now, does it talk half an hour? No. They only may talk just a few seconds. They may talk for 10 minutes. It's how we can connect and stay in that vibration link so that communication can come through.
And can you ask them a question?
Away.
Can you
sure.
ask them a
Absolutely.
Specific question?
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Absolutely.
That the client may
yes.
may want to know.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
where'd you hide the money? Whatever it might be.
Well, you know what? Somebody did hide. One time somebody did hide a deed, and
yeah.
it was a grandfather, and he had hid it in the wall
okay.
of his house.
My goodness. I've heard
and we
stories
went
like this.
People that owned the house and got that deed back.
But it really happens.
Oh, honest to goodness, it does. It does. I'll tell you a story. This is a funny one. I lived in Arizona for 35 years, and, you know, Arizona is a very, very dry climate except for monsoons in the summertime. And
right.
a client I'd gone out to her house, done some feng shui for her, done a few readings for her, and she called me, and she said, come out here. I need your help. And I said, well, I can't come right this minute. I said, but what do you need? And she said, my blind dog is gone. And I said, he's just down the street. And she said, but no, he can't be, Margaret. He can't see. She said, where is he? I said, all right, just follow what I'm going to tell you to do, okay? Don't ask no questions. And she said, okay. I said, go to the front door. I said, open up the front door. I said, go out to the dirt road that is not really a road but has been. Do you know where that's at? And she said, yeah, I do. I said, okay. I said, walk down that road. I said, you'll find him in a mud puddle. She said, Margaret, it hadn't rained here in 3 weeks. Remember? I said, I realize that, but the dog is sitting in a mud puddle in the middle of that dirt road. Just keep walking. Be about a mile. You'll find him. Oh, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 minutes later, she calls me up. She's going, oh, my God, I found my dog. I said, where is he? She said, he's sitting in a mud puddle. She said, how can that be? I said, it's what you call a spring. There
my
was a
goodness.
Water spring coming up
yeah.
out of that dirt road. So, you know, I sometimes have to just bust out laughing because it is amazing. And I'll tell you another story. This is a really good one. Is that a client of mine had come to me and said that she had connections with a monastery. And I believe it was in Mexico. And she said, we have lost the well. We have no water, and we need water, but we can't get a truck up there to get water. And she said, is there anything you can do? I said, all right. I said, I tell you what. I said, call whoever's in charge. I said, tell them to meet me at their front door. And she said, right now? And I said, yeah, right now. I said, tie yourself into this phone conversation because you may have to help. So she did, and I said, okay, tell the monk. I said, go walk 93 steps straight out his door. At the 93rd step, take a left, and you will go 19 steps. And I said, and then you'll take a right, and then you'll go 120 steps. Make sure you take a big rock with you or a stick, and you're going to put it right where I just told you. And that is where your new well is. And she's going, Margaret, that can't be. I said, well, I have to tell you, it is. And she said, I said, why are you thinking it's not? She said, well, she said about, I don't know, maybe 30 or 50 steps away was the old well, and it's dry. I said, well, this one's not over there. I said, just tell them to go on and dig there. And I said, and call me back and let me know when you hit water. She said, okay. So about, maybe a week later, I get about 10 pounds of black tea. And it was a wonderful gift they had sent for me finding
yeah.
their new well.
So it was there where you said.
It was
gosh.
There. Absolutely.
Listen,
absolutely.
How do you work with people? You know, we have a lot of people who listen to these broadcasts, and they love to talk to someone like you who can help them. I read in the introduction, you know, that your mission is to guide us all to a higher purpose and a more profound sense of wholeness. Do you mean that? And what does that mean? Am I right about that, or are those just words?
Say that again.
You know, let's go to another question. I'm fascinated to know if when you walk by somebody or you see them, do you get feelings about them and things that may be about to happen to them? Not
yep.
that you're going to tell them, but you get
yep.
these feelings, right? They
yep.
just come to you. Is that right?
Yep. Yep. Now, here's the kicker to this. You need to turn it off to have a life. And that's
yeah.
exactly what you do most of the time, unless there is a reason that you need to know about that person. Now, I will tell you, I had a woman in a class of mine, and I said to her as class was over, and I said, come here. I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, do you trust me? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, do you really trust me? She said, oh, yeah. I said, what I want you to do, I said, is when you get home, I said, I want you to call your doctor. I want you to make an appointment, and I want you to go and have breast exam, a mammogram. And she said, okay. And I said, you promise me you'll do that? She said, absolutely. I said, whenever that call is done and you go see that doctor, you call me back and let me know, okay? She said, okay. So she went home, and she called, and the Mayo Clinic was where she called in Arizona, and the doc says, well, come on over. He says, I'll do the mammogram now, because they were friends, and that was her doctor. So
okay.
her husband went along with her, and her husband says to her, you're making an idiot out of yourself. You surely can't believe that this woman knows anything. She said, just shut up. I'm going to do it her way. And so the doc comes in, he sits down, and he says, well, he said, I just read your mammogram. And he said, what's this woman's telephone number? And she said, why? He says, because I want to call her. And she says, well, are you upset? He said, no. He said, this woman, I think, might have just saved your life. You have stage 3 breast cancer.
Wow.
Now,
and
do I say that to everybody? No, sir, I do not. You have to know who to say it to and when to say it. There's ways to get around it and let people know that they just need to go and, you know, get a checkup. You know, just get yourself checked out. Most of the time, if I make that kind of contact, for whatever the reason, Spirit has a way of getting that person to follow through with it. And it has saved some lives. I don't tell that very often, but it is something that I'm grateful for. And I never know when something's going to come open that I need to say. And I'm willing to say it. But you can't be on 24/7. You know, you just can't.
You work primarily on the phone with people, or do you do it Zoom as well? How do you work? As well as in person, I guess, if people live near you.
Well,
how about that?
No, I do not do any live person readings anymore, and there's a good reason for it. I don't want people's – I choose to work out of my house. I've stopped my office.
Right.
I have an office in the house, and I really don't want that energy in my own home. I kind of want to keep it at kind of a sacred space. So I do readings for people all over the world over the phone. Now, I do a lot of business readings also. I work with major corporations, and they may have me, you know, dial in, and we may do a Zoom call. We may have 5 or 6 executives that have something going on that they want to ask questions about. And that's what we do. And that may be a 3-hour reading. I may talk to 5 or 6 people. And that's it. They're going their merry way.
What kind of things would they be wanting to know? These are executives from, you know, a
mm-hmm.
corporation. What kind of questions they ask you?
Some of the questions are pretty simple. It's like, you know, we're wanting to open up a new division. And,
okay.
you know, as we make this decision, open up this division, you know, what's your feeling on the location? What do you feel about this place? Or you know, is this something doable, you know? And because I have such a rapport with these people, they ask
yeah.
pretty simple questions, but yes, yet knowing that I'm not going to go out and tell it, you know. But they make a lot of decisions based on what I say. But that's where we have such a bond and have, you know, had a relationship for many years. I have clients right now that I have read for, 40, 50 years. And I started out with their grandparents. It became their kids. Then it became their kids. And then it became their kids. So, yeah. So I have, you know, four generations of family that I read for, you know, at least once every couple months.
That's an amazing story. We're talking to Margaret Selby. She is a world-renowned psychic reader and a medium. She has a great website, by the way, if you're listening and you want to learn more about Margaret or you want to get in touch with her, here's how you do it. It's very, very simple. Go to her website, which is Margaret Selby, SELBY.com. That's where you can find out about Margaret, about what she does. And also, you can find out she's written a great book called Heart to Hand. What's the book about, Margaret? And how long ago did you write it?
I wrote it in 2016.
Okay.
And what was
not
interesting,
that long ago.
Yeah. What was interesting about that book, I was sitting here one night watching TV, and this guide of mine, his name was Peter, came to me and he says, get a pad of paper and a pen. And so I thought, oh, crap, now I got to stop watching TV. So I grabbed the pen, the pad, sat down, and just the minute I sat down, my hand started flipping pages, and I was writing and filling up those pages and flipping. And I finally said, hey, I got to stop. My hand's cramping. I had written 60 pages of that book. And
wow.
He said, I think I've given you enough for the night. Meet me here at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, maybe at the table this time.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So the next night, you know, we got about, I think, 100 pages written. I had to kind of train him to slow down a little bit because, you know, when they're channeling, they're channeling really fast. And my hand, you know, can't go fast enough. And so they had to slow it down, and I had to pick up speed, but they were controlling the pen and the paper.
But
and
what all
so,
were you writing about? What were they dictating that you write?
What they were writing to me was basically a book that had 54 chapters that was about things that every one of us asked questions on. You know, questions on cancer. Why do we get cancer? Why in the world, God, would you give kids cancer of all things? You know, why are we always in such a fast pace? You know, what makes us tick? So it was questions that all of us ask. You know, they had questions in there, you know, in relationship to health issues, things that
Margaret,
you need to do.
So people can really learn something from the book. Is that right?
You can. Yeah, you can.
I'm cutting to the chase here because we're running out of time pretty quickly here. I want to thank you, but the book is available, right? Like at Amazon,
yes.
Bookstores. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And there will be a new one coming out with added chapters to it in probably about a month. So if they want to get that book, certainly they can call me direct at area code 828-312-4229 and get on a waiting list for that book.
Well, I'll tell you what, the best thing to do, rather than give your phone number out, everybody around the world's listening to this, go to your website, margaretselby.com, margaretselby.com. She's such a great, lovely lady to talk to. She's based in Hickory, North Carolina. Margaret, I hope we can talk to you again. I wish you had more time because you're delightful. But thank you for your information.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. We really do appreciate your being with us today. And thank you so very much. I look forward to doing
Enjoyed
this again.
It.
I hopefully can.
All right.
Yes.
Take care.
Okay.
All
very
right.
good. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next time. Goodbye for now.